So now I'd like to introduce Jesse to speak. 10-minute speaker. Oh, he's on his way. Oh.
Jesse!
Hey, there he is. Hey, how you doing, Jesse?
All right, thank you. Jesse, alcoholic. I thought there was more reading, so that's why I just sat there for a minute, you know. This is my first time doing this, and it's a privilege, you know. Keith asked me, and I think I got tricked into it because he goes, "Hey, what are you doing Saturday night?" And I go, "Like, nothing." He goes, "Okay, then you're speaking with me." Well, okay, you know. So, anyway, let's see here. All right. I was born here in Santa Maria, okay? And I went to school at Oakley School, and I went to El Camino, and I went to Santa Maria High. And during the summer, I didn't really have a summer vacation because I always sent to summer school, you know? Usually because I wasn't really paying attention, you know. And so I used to have to go there to make up or get better grades or whatever it was, you know, or, you know, just to get me out of the house. I don't know. With growing up in my home, it was usually I had to play outside. There was nothing to, you know, I had to be outside. My parents wanted me outside, so I had to go outside. So I grew up with my friends outside. And it's not like the kids today where they play Nintendo and they do all those things like that. You know, it was I grew up a different way. I had 7 uncles. And I grew up with them. And a lot of them used to like to fight. So, he used to get me with the neighborhood kids and make them fight, make me fight the neighborhood kids, you know? So I grew up that way, you know, always in some kind of predicament. Let's see here. I used to run away from home. You know, when things were getting tough there, I didn't want to listen. So I used to run away from home. You know, I used to go stay at my grandmother's house because I knew it was safe there because I had all my uncles there. You know, where that was where the 1600 Club was, but the next street over now, which is Rite Aid parking lot. You know, I grew up there as a kid, you know, all those years. And then finally, they moved, when they started building, ready to knock that down, they moved my grandmother to the projects right off Donovan. So I grew up in there too, around that area, you know. And there used to be a thrifties right there. And so my mom used to say, "Hey, here's a couple of bucks. Go get yourself some tennis shoes at thrifties," you know. And I used to go there, and on the way out, there'd be the neighborhood guys there, right, trying to strip my bike right there in the park, you know, right there at the bike rack, you know. And so right then I knew I had to fight those guys again. And but I kept my tennis shoes. Guaranteed I kept my tennis shoes. But Mom said, "Bring home some tennis shoes." So I used to bring home the tennis shoes, and I used to go back to the projects looking for my bike. And I remember I got it back 3 times because that's the way it was. And the 4th time I got it was in pieces. I guess they gave up me going back there fighting for it and getting it back. But I don't know. It's been a wild experience in my life. You know, I got caught fighting a lot in high school. I got caught for a second shooting that I did, and I was sent to do some time, but the judge gave me an option. He goes, "Either you do 3 years in prison because you're going to be turning 18, or you join the military." Well, I chose the military, you know. because they could accept guys like me then, you know, always wanted to do fight, and that's what they wanted. So I did that, and I fought a lot in there too. You know, it's crazy. I surprised myself, but you know, all this stuff, you know, like that, you know, fighting all the time. But I don't know. It was the drugs. Well, I remember one time. I remember one of my first drinks that I had. It was with my uncles. We were in the car. I was in the back seat in the middle, and four of my uncles were in the car. And one of them gave me a beer. To me, it was my first beer, and he gave me the beer. And my other uncle driving the car says, "No, don't give it to him." You know, and they kind of argued like that. And I said, "No," I said, "let me drink it," you know. And my other uncle says, "Yeah, let him drink one," you know. So I drank it, and I downed it. My attitude changed like that. I wasn't that little nice kid no more. I said something to my uncle that was driving, pissed him off, because I wanted him to burn out in the car. So I said something, so it made him mad enough to burn out in the car, you know. And that's when I knew alcohol changed my mental thinking. And I ran with that, you know. Then I, later on in life, I started drinking some more and hanging around with the people that I did. And I was this rocket, you know. And I knew I, you know, fight was just another thing to me. It was just another fight, you know. But it got later in time when I started really doing the drugs and the alcohol, you know. You know, because it was the things that I just didn't care about no more. I wasn't listening. It was my problem the whole life. I was never listening, you know. And, I don't know. Let me see. I'm jumping around. I know that. But I don't know. Let me see. All right. Growing up, okay, some more. I got married a couple of times. I wasn't a good picker for women, you know. I was like the fast ones and the ones that, you know. But, yeah, I picked some long ones, you know. And I had $2 and a third one. And, my first one had passed away at 3.5 years old, and in half her life I was in jail, you know. And I wasn't there for her, but when I was out and around her, I was there for her. But when she passed away, it was a quick thing, and I went like sliding down a mountain, dragging on rocks, you know, just skidding on my knees. And you know, there was like just flipping down, trying to stop and flip down again. That's how I felt. And that's when the alcohol really took effect, because I had lost something precious in my life. You know, I had lost some uncles I grew up with, but, you know, that was my daughter, you know, and that was my first. And I had these plans, like, you know, I got this room, I got this little place I was working at, I got this apartment. I was telling everybody, yeah, I'm going to have my daughter with me, you know, she's coming this weekend. And I got all excited, telling everybody this and that, and she died the day before I was going to bring her over. And so that that enhanced my my depression, my alcohol drinking, you know, because I know when you drink, depression kicks in. So that's a depressant. But I don't know, and there was times I got in trouble, and I would go to the 1600, or there was like a book, you had a sign, it's like, okay, what do you want to do your community time? I go, 1600, because that's easy over there, you know, I can clean some windows, I don't have to go to the park and break weeds, you know, or branches, or whatever it was, leaves. So I said, I'll go to 1600, and I'll rake up some, I'll clean some windows over there, it's easy. And that's when I met Ray J. And he was the first one I met in these rooms, and he was the first one that really talked to me. He was like, I can open up to that guy. And he would tell me some things that no one ever told me. So I knew I was in another situation because I wasn't in the right mind of thinking right, you know. All things that I thought I was doing right, it was usually always wrong. So he kept coming over all the time because I just lived the next street over from the 1600 Club. And I heard this motorcycle pull up, and oh, fuck, here comes Ray J again, you know. But see, that was because I was still in my addiction, you know. And this guy was being nice to me. But I kind of say that as a joke because I knew he had a good heart. I knew he was trying to make me do good, and he wanted the best for me. And that's what I see in a lot of people in these rooms. They want to do the best for themselves. Just like me, I want to do the best I can, and I want other people to do good for them too. So when I really committed myself to be in these rooms, you know, I always heard all these things, but when I finally committed myself to be in these rooms, I started to listen one more time, better than I ever did before. And I got a sponsor, George L. And because I heard his stories and I heard the way he was talking, and I said, I need somebody like that grabs a hold of me and just lays it down straight out, you know, because that's how my uncles were. And so I needed that. I listened to a lot of his suggestions. I let that man, I let myself be open to something new, you know, I want a new way of life. I always thought, like, when I used to have to be partying with all these friends, I go, there were a lot of times I did not want to drink. But it was the peer pressure of being around those people or something to do, pop open a beer just to have it in my hand, take a couple of sips. And before I knew it, the weed broke out, a line broke out. Before I know it, I was drinking some more. Before I know it, we were in a car, I was driving, and shit was going down, you know. And, that was the type of person that used to love to drink and drive. You know, give me some music, give me some keys, give me a couple of bucks of gas, put the ice chest in behind the seat, let's go, you know. It's on, you know. You know, and for that, I made a lot of mistakes, you know. I caught some DUIs, you know, when nobody was around because I was out there 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning by myself still trying to look for a party. But, you know, the only ones I found was the cops that found me out there, you know. So when I decided to actually do this thing, and I said, you know what? So I'm going to check out those 12 steps up there. I said, I'm going to see how I feel on the 12th step. I'm going to see how all these other guys before me did them, and I see them. Because I watch you guys, you know. I watch all you guys that got time before me, you know. You know, you guys watch me grow up in these rooms, you know. And I got 7 years as of the other day, you know, and I'm proud of that, you know. That's the first thing I really have been accomplishing was having another day of sobriety, being clean, and trying to do the right thing, you know. And I remember one time my sponsor asked me, he goes, you getting any money? I go, just my little hustle I got. He goes, okay. He says, go get food stamps and go get a GR. So I did. And he goes, okay, now go get unemployment. I go, so I did. And then he goes, now go get a job. I go, wait, I just got unemployment. What are you talking about? I went out and got a job. And this job I got still to today, you know, coming up on 7 years having that job. And then, I was tired of being homeless. I was tired of being all those things like that. And being clear-headed, being Yeah, being clear-headed, you know, listening to these sessions, coming to these meetings all the time, hearing all you guys' stories, seeing that you guys accomplish more things, you know, every day, and seeing, you know, somebody coming up with a new car, somebody saying they did something good or went on a trip, you know, I go like, man, I want some of that shit. I want to do that. I want to have a better life than living in the motel room, peeking out the window, or you know, sitting behind a cop car, going to jail one more time, you know, knowing that I'm going to be locked up for no who knows how long, you know. So I had to have this change of life, coming here and understanding this new way of life, you know. Because I used to run from the good shit, you know. So here I stay today. That's why, you know, I have the courage to say no to alcohol and drugs. And to be this better person than I am. And I'm proud of myself, you know. And I see the light come on with these new people that come in. They're all tense. They're all closed up. And then all of a sudden they start talking a little bit. And they say, man, I want this stuff, you know, I want this, you know, and that's how I felt, you know, and it's like, man, you go, yeah, I keep coming back, this is, you know, this is it for me, I like this, you know, this is my life, you know, today, you know, I don't know, you know, a lot of good things have been happening, you know, those promises that we read, you know, the material rights and a lot of good things been happening, you know. You know, because I came in here, I used to be a felon, you know, on high security, I mean, high alert, you know, whatever they call that. I mean, I used to be high risk, you know what I mean? And today I don't got none of that on me, you know. I cleaned up that. That's in my past, you know. That's what I say. My sobriety date, fact, is my past. My sobriety date from then till now has been my future, you know. And if you understand that, you know what I mean, you know, because ever since then, I don't go to jail. I haven't caught a new case. I haven't hurt nobody, not physically.
Right.
you know, but I'm not, I don't got a halo on my head either, you know. I don't come here to be this perfect person. I just come here to be a better person, you know. I'm no better than you, but I'm better off than the first day I came here, you know, and I believe in that. You know, I got proof to show it, you know. And I don't know if that's been 10 minutes and I can't see the clock, but anyway, you know, all you newcomers keep coming back, you know, and all the people that got birthdays this month, you know, congratulations. It is a big thing. It's a big thing for me, you know, because I got family back. I got family members are back that want me back in their life when they told me, don't come over, don't call, you're out of here, you know. You know, because I did some mean things. I did some things they don't even know about. And, you know, there's things I can't share with them that I've done. But I am a good son to them today. I'm a brother to my brother, I'm a brother to my sister. You know, and I got to, you know, get a hold of my daughters and take a grasp of them and, you know, lead them on the right way. Because my little daughter that lives here in town, one day she asked me, Dad, I gave her a piggy bank, and I go, what are you going to do with your money? She goes, I'm going to save it to buy a car. I go, buy a car? She goes, for what? She goes, see you. I go, see me? And I go, wow. I go, what kind of car do you want? She goes, a lowrider with hydraulics. Yeah. So I got to get a hold of her, you know. I got to grab her and say, like, okay, maybe later, but not now. But I'm going to thank everybody for giving me some direction when I needed it and stuff like that, you know, because I know I can't do it alone. Even the newcomers too, you know, you guys remind me of where I came from, and I don't want to go back, you know. even when I go home down that way on the north side of town, and there's a lot of homeless people out there, and I was like, man, can't go there, you know. But that's all I got. Thank you.
Wonderful. Give him another round of applause.